The European Union moves one step closer to banning Russian oil purchases. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Speaking before the European Parliament early this morning in Strasbourg, France, EU leader Ursula von der Leyen made recommendations for a sixth round of sanctions against Russia for its Ukraine invasion. Proposals include barring Sberbank, Russia's largest bank, and two others from the international SWIFT payment system, cutting off state-owned broadcasters from EU airwaves, sanctioning high-ranking Russian military officers who committed war crimes in Bucha and Mariupol, and implementing a full ban on Russian oil imports to the bloc.
Today, we will propose to ban all Russian oil from Europe. This will be a complete import ban on all Russian oil, seaborne and pipeline, crude and refined. We will make sure that we phase out Russian oil in an orderly fashion, so in a way that allows us and our partners to secure alternative supply routes and at the same time be very careful that we minimize the impact on the global market. And this is why we will phase out Russian supply of crude oil within 6 months and refined products by the end of the year.
But as we've heard since the start of Russia's war in Ukraine, banning EU imports of Russian oil is not an easy task. And that is something that Ms. von der Leyen acknowledged in her remarks today. The BBC's Bethany Bell is following the story for us and explains why an all-out ban isn't quite so cut and dry.
What we understand, and this is not what President von der Leyen said in her speech, but we understand that there could be exemptions for countries like Hungary and Slovakia, which are heavily dependent on Russian oil. We've had a statement from the Hungarian government saying that they don't see plans and guarantees as to how a transition could be managed and how Hungary's energy security would be guaranteed.
And I suppose that raises questions if there are exemptions, that one that you mentioned. Reported by Reuters that they would have an extension until the end of next year under their existing contracts. The next big question then is, how will this happen?
Ambassadors from the EU countries are meeting to discuss this today. They'll take the proposals back to capitals where they'll go through the legal implications of everything. They'll go through line by line, seeing what works, what doesn't work. But I think the fact that we've had this big statement by President von der Leyen today shows that they feel some momentum to bring in this package of sanctions, which would be one of the biggest steps that they may take against Russia since the war began.
Importantly, though, what's not mentioned in this round of sanctions is a ban on Russian gas. That's still absent these proposals. Do you think the momentum could continue to include that at some point?
Gas is much harder. Europe is far more dependent on Russian gas. And we're not just talking about countries such as Hungary and Slovakia. We're talking about other places like Austria, for example, which gets 80% of its gas from Russia. So a far more complicated question for the EU.
The BBC's Bethany Bell for us in Brussels. Thanks so much for breaking this down.
Thank you.
Well, global oil prices are jumping off the back of those EU proposals this morning. The Brent and West Texas crude benchmarks are up more than 3% at this hour. Checking some other numbers, European stock benchmarks are down in the 0.2% to 0.5% range, while markets across Asia were steady in thinned holiday trade. The Federal Reserve is out with its latest rate decision this afternoon, and it's likely to raise rates by 0.5 percentage point. It would be the biggest such move since 2000. That's a decision that's been widely expected and very carefully telegraphed. One that has not, though, is a similar move today from India's policymakers. Just this hour, they announced a surprise rate rise of their own, up 0.4 percentage point, aimed at combating a growing cost of living crisis in that country. Worries about the effects of higher borrowing costs, though, for companies sent the country's benchmark share index down 2.3% in Mumbai. And that's where we find the BBC's Arunade Mukherjee, who told me just how bad the inflation situation there is.
It's been bad for a while now. In fact, if we just go back a few months, in March 2022, inflation figures rose to 17-month highs of nearly 6.95%. The mandated window for the Reserve Bank is between 2 to 6%. And this is mainly due to food and oil prices. So just to give you a sense of how it's been affecting households, it's really affecting family budgets. Food prices account for nearly half the entire inflation basket. So that's where it's hitting it hardest. Vegetable prices, for instance, have risen across the board. Many items selling for double the price. Basic items common in the Indian kitchen, cumin, lemon, chilies, they've gone up by nearly 60%. You've got milk prices going up. Fuel prices, of course, being hiked repeatedly.
And if we look at the wider global economic picture, earlier this year, the IMF warned the effects of higher rates in the U.S. could have on other countries, especially emerging markets. It could make it more expensive to borrow, to service debt, to send exports to America. How big of a concern is a higher rate environment that we're likely to see starting today in the U.S. for India?
That would be something that the government would be watching very closely, because, Victoria, this is a time when the Indian economy is looking to open up. After, you know, 2 years of COVID-19, it is a time when we're still seeing cases relatively under control. You've got a high rate of vaccination. So the Indian economy is really looking to open up. But at the moment, the focus for the government is to try and control inflation.
The BBC's Arunade Mukherjee for us in Mumbai. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Victoria.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.